God's side. And the tribe of Levite, they gathered around him. And Moses told them to go fight for the Lord. So the Levites went out and they killed about 3,000 people. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 32. So at the giving of the law, 3,000 people were killed. But when the Spirit was poured out, 3,000 people were born again. 3,000 people were saved. On the first Pentecost, 3,000 died. Mm-hmm. Acts 2, verse 41. This is right after, you know what the second chapter of Acts is? That's when the Holy Spirit is poured out. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and that same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." So the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So 2 Corinthians 3:6 says, "And he has qualified us as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, the letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life." Aren't you glad, church, that we have a better covenant than they did in the Old Testament? A better covenant based on better promises. Mm-hmm. So this day, this Pentecost Sunday, is a celebration of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, the church was empowered. You know, and people back away from this. They don't want to hear about the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't mind talking about the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the joy and the peace and the patience, and all that stuff is good. But they get nervous when you start talking about the power. Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 8. Excuse me, Acts 1, starting in 1 up to verse 8. And this is Luke who is writing this, and he says, "The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do, both and teach, until tell the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles who he had chosen, to whom he had presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible truths, being seen by them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.'" So Jesus told them, don't go out, don't start preaching this gospel until you are baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I wonder how many people are doing that now today in the church at large, in the church in the world. You know, they get their education, they hear about God, but are they really filled with the Holy Spirit? Are they really baptized? Their mind is full, but where's their spirit at? That's the most important part. Verse 8 again. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, and all the ends of the earth." So Jerusalem was their immediate surrounding area. Judea was a little bit further out, and Samaria was further out still. And then it says all the ends of the earth, you know, even in Fiji, and they even go and talk to the Kiwis and such. So when do we do this? When we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says you will be witnesses. It doesn't say that you will do witnessing. And that's good. You know, if you want to do witnessing, you know, take out and give Bible tracts to people, go talk to the people in the jails or wherever you want to do it. Hey, you know what? If you feel like God is leading you to do that, I appreciate it. That's awesome. But it doesn't say that you will do witnessing. It says that you will be a witness. Your life will be a witness. You know what? You're going to stand out. You're going to be different. I am a witness to the power of God that's in my life. You know, if you're a witness in court, you have to tell of what you've seen or what you've heard. You tell of what's happened to you. You can't be telling what you heard happened to somebody else or somebody else. You know, this guy I heard did this. That's called hearsay. That's not admissible in a court of law. Our witness is what's happening to us. We stand out because the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, and the more we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our life, the better witness that we will be for God. You guys remember the man born blind? And the Pharisees were interrogating. I can talk better when I'm not up here. I guess I think I get nervous sometimes. Interrogating him. They said, we know this man, Jesus. We know he's a sinner. He's breaking the Sabbath laws by healing people on the Sabbath. And the man said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is I was blind and now I see. So that's what a witness is. You don't have to have education. You don't have to have more degrees than a thermometer. You just got to have let God touch your life, and you'll be a witness for the kingdom of God. So the Pharisees, they didn't know what to do with him, so they threw him out. Acts 1, starting in verse 4, and it says, they assembled together with them, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. And the promise was truly, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So the promise was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is the promise that we need to be hanging on to, that God wants to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. You know, not many people had Bibles back in those days. As a matter of fact, the New Testament, for the most part, wasn't even written. But they had the power of God, and they had the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And it says on that first day, 3,000 people were saved. 3,000 people were born again. 3,000 people received life. Mm-hmm. You know, I appreciate the fact that we have Bibles. And it wasn't so many generations ago that having a Bible was really rare. And people died trying to get the Bible translated, trying to get the Bible into the hands of the common people. People paid for that with their life. But I think that people today sometimes can be over-intellectualizing things. You know, they put God in a box. 1 Corinthians 5:19 says, don't quench the Spirit. Guys, you know what quenching is? It's if you had a fire burning, and maybe it's burning bright, and you pour water on it, you know what you're doing? You're quenching the Spirit, or you're quenching the fire. So when the Spirit is burning in your life and on the church, let's not pour water on the situation. Let's allow ourselves to be a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. Sometimes we need to step out of the comfort zone. We need to allow ourselves to be thought of as different. You know, there's a verse that says that God calls us a peculiar people, and that's King James, and I don't think he means strange, but sometimes the world might think that we're strange. You know, we need to be able to say, Lord, I can stand out. I can be different. I don't care what people are thinking about me. Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord, in one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven, as of a mighty rushing wind, came, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, It comes upon us suddenly, times that you might not be expecting it. So God moves according to his own timing, not according to our timing. And it says that they were in one accord. Church, if we want a movement of the Spirit, we can't be backbiting. We can't be fighting. We have to have one spirit, one mind. We can't be competing and against each other. Mm-hmm. And it says, as a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them divided tongues, as of a fire, and one fell upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. So some people think that tongues have passed away. Well, why would you think that? We just can't arbitrarily start taking things out of the Bible and say, this has passed away. Well, you know, maybe tongues have passed away, miracles passed away, healings passed away. You know, if you have that attitude, you might as well just say salvation's passed away. You know, there's so many passed aways here, it's like a cemetery. Everybody in the cemetery's passed away too, right? You know, I mean, what else has passed away? People get saved, but that's passed away. I mean, most of us wouldn't say that. You know, we would say that's foolishness. But we need to be consistent. If we can just say that this part of the Bible's passed away, why hasn't salvation passed away? Why hasn't everything else passed away? And in that case, what are we doing here? No, we need to respect the Bible. This is for us. This is for now. And this is for today. I'm going to read from John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. I'm not sure if I have that one up there. And this is Jesus talking. And this is right before he was crucified. And it says, the same day at evening, being the first of the week, this is after Jesus was crucified. This is after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. And then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week, the doors were shut and the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and his disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and he said unto them, receive the Holy Ghost. So how many people think that they were saved? They believed in Jesus and they received the Holy Spirit. But this was before the upper room experience. This is they received the Holy Spirit, but they weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit. You know, you can drink a glass of water or you can jump into the water. Those are two very different things. We drink at salvation, but we are immersed in the Spirit when we get baptized in the Spirit. You know, the Greek word for baptized is immersion. So when we're baptized into the Spirit, we're immersed in the Spirit. So we can drink at salvation. So everybody doesn't get this baptism. It's available to all, but they just take a drink. But church, we want to go further than that. We want to have the full baptism in the Holy Spirit. So when they were baptized in the Spirit, that little group of 120 were empowered. Within a few generations, this gospel message was preached to the whole known world. 120 uneducated, common people went out from there and boldly preached this message to the known world. And it was a hostile world. They were against them. But you know what? They were empowered by the Holy Spirit and they were able to get this message out. But before they received, they were hiding from the religious leaders before they received this baptism in the Holy Spirit. They pretty much left Jesus alone on the cross. No one was there for them. But when they received the Holy Spirit, they were baptized, they were filled, and they were bold to preach the word of the Lord. So the question is, do we have to speak in tongues? And the answer is no, but the answer is we get to speak in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 18, this is Paul speaking. Paul, who wrote half the Bible, or two-thirds of the Bible, or New Testament, if you count Hebrews, but he wrote at least half of the Bible. He said, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. So Paul wasn't the type to waste his efforts. If it wasn't profitable for him to speak in tongues, he wouldn't be speaking more than that bunch at Corinth. That church at Corinth, you know, they were a tongue-talking bunch. But then he goes on to say, yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach also than 10,000 words in a tongue. So Paul's praying in the Spirit was mostly a private prayer language. He said in the church, he would rather speak five words that people could understand than 10,000 words in a tongue. So he was empowered. He was filled with the Spirit as he spoke in tongues in his private prayer chamber. And then when he came out, he was filled and he spoke words that people could understand, and lives were changed, and things started to happen. Mm. You know, I'm going to read a little bit more in 1 Corinthians 14. And this is starting in verse 15. It says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, but I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I would rather speak five words of my understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding, however in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. As it is written in the law, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore tongues are a sign not to those who believe but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for the unbelievers but for those who believe. So Paul thought it was important to speak in tongues. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. So when you're drunk with wine, you know what? You're under the influence. You're under the influence of that wine, right? And you don't have self-control. But when you're filled with the Spirit, you're under the influence of the Spirit. And your spirit is controlled by the Holy Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So be filled with the Holy Spirit, it says. In the Greek, that word is in the imperfect tense. What it's actually saying is, keep being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because you know what, church? We leak. You know, we come to church, we get filled up, and then we go home, and if we're not careful, you know, the issues of the day and the problems of the day start to leak this out. And instead of being controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're controlled by the flesh. So we need to be being filled by the Holy Spirit. So yes, we need the fruit of the Spirit. You know that love and the joy and the peace and the patience and all the rest. These are good and these are necessary. You know, as a matter of fact, I've been spending quite a bit of time in my own life reading about the Holy Spirit, or the gifts of the fruit of the Spirit. You know, I want that fruit alive in my life. I want that love. You know, before I can love other people, though, I've got to realize that God loves me. I can't give away what I don't have. So the more that we realize that the love of God in our life, the more we will be able to love other people. And joy, I'll tell you what, church, the world needs that joy. I mean, people get prescriptions, you know, and God bless them if it works for them. But I don't think joy comes in a bottle. The joy of the Spirit is a spiritual fruit for us. Mm-hmm. So love and joy and peace. You know, the world seems to be going crazy. People are worried about $5 a gallon gas and whether it's going to be going to $7 or $8. You know, people are worried about food. I saw a video, and I didn't watch it. I just saw the headline. It said somebody was expecting $12 for a dozen eggs. So whether that happens, you know, whether or not, God still keeps care of us. You know, we're His child. Whether things are good or whether things are bad, we're still controlled, and God is in control of our situation. So we can have peace. You know, people are wonder, why are you so full of love? Why are you so full of joy? Why are you so full of peace? Well, that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So church, we need the fruit. On the one hand, we need fruit of the Spirit, and on the other hand, we need the power of the Spirit. Just like a fighter. You know, I did some boxing when I was a kid, you know, probably starting at about 13 up to 16, you know. I had a pretty good left jab. But a one-handed fighter is not a very good fighter. He's not an effective fighter, right? So we need to have both of our hands. In the one hand, we have the fruit, and on the other hand, we have the Spirit. And before we end, I'm going to have the praise team come up. I think they're going to do one more song. And we're going to be like the 120. They were gathered together in one accord, and they were waiting on the Holy Spirit. They were asking for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to play one song, and if anybody wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come up here and receive. We have to believe that yes, it is available. Yes, it is God's will. Yes, it is in God's word. And if you've already received and you don't have to come up here, just listen to the words and pray silently, and then I'll pray and we will be dismissed. Thank you.
You know, Seth, I want to testify. Seth came to prayer on Tuesday the other day, and he was just praying for people to have good sleep. And I'm like, good sleep, okay, cool. And then that night, I had the best sleep I've had in years. And I didn't know how much lack I had with regard to that. And it was divine. And I just love it when God sort of affirms His servants by saying, hey, I'm right here alongside them doing work. And I just pray that we all kind of receive the Holy Spirit to with each other, to let that Holy Spirit move through each other and work and heal and do amazing things that God wants to do.
Yes, amen.
Come up. Do you want to receive? Spirit come up. If somebody's not saved or they're not sure they're saved, it's a gift. It's free. God is here to give to anyone who asks. So I encourage you, young people, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He's only got children. Just because your parents were saved, that doesn't mean that you're saved. So go ahead, if you guys would want to pray. And we're here to pray.
Amen.